Hello and welcome to Victory Today. This is Pastor Sam, and I'm so glad you joined me on the program. This program is an extension of the ministry of the Victory Tabernacle Church of God right here in Midlothian, Virginia, 11700 Genito Road here in Midlothian in the Richmond area. And I love being here in this beautiful part of God's country. I love being with all of you, and I'm so grateful that God has given us an opportunity to share the good news of the gospel with you today. This is actually an exciting time for us because we are anticipating a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I believe these are the last days, and I believe that this is the church's finest hour. So I want to invite you to join us for the next half hour and open your heart and allow God to minister to you from His Word and by the Holy Spirit. The message that you hear is a message that I preached recently from the pulpit of the Victory Tabernacle Church, and I believe that it will be a blessing to you. I want to challenge you to consciously and deliberately bring your life into perfect alignment with the Word of God. So open your heart wide and get ready to receive something special from the Lord today as we go into that service that's already in progress and the power of the Lord is moving. I want to talk to you for just a few minutes about the old paths and precious promises. Something is not outmoded and antiquated simply because it's old. It's not obsolete or irrelevant because it's ancient. The Word of God is old, but the Word of God is just as up to date as this morning's newspaper headlines. In Psalm 12, it says, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver furnished, refined in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." I like the old paths when crime didn't pay and hard work did, and people knew the difference. When moms could cook and dads would work and children would behave. When husbands were loving and supportive, and women looked like ladies and men looked like gentlemen, and people loved the truth and hated a lie. I love the old ways, the old paths, when hymns sounded godly and sermons sounded helpful and rejoicing sounded normal and crying sounded sincere. I love the old paths when cursing was wicked, drugs were for illness, and divorce was unthinkable. I love the old paths when the flag was honored, America was beautiful, and God was welcome. I love the old paths when we read the Bible in public and prayed in schools. To be called an American was worth dying for, and to be called a Christian was worth living for, and to be called a traitor was a shame. Preachers preached because they had a message. Christians rejoiced because they had the victory. Preachers preached from the Bible. Singers sang from the heart. And sinners turned to the Lord to be saved. I like the old paths because a new birth meant a new life. And salvation meant a changed life. And following Christ led to eternal life. Being a preacher meant you proclaim the Word of God. Being a deacon meant you would serve the Lord. Being a Christian meant you would live for Jesus. And being a sinner meant someone was praying for you. Laws were based on the Bible. Homes read the Bible and churches taught the Bible. God was worshiped. Christ was exalted and the Holy Spirit was respected, and they sang, "Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me, and it will take us all to heaven. It will take us all to heaven. It will take us all to heaven. And it's good enough for me. How many of you got that old time religion? Somebody say amen. The Bible says in 2 Peter 1 and 4 that we are given exceeding great and precious promises. Most of us remember old hymns that we heard the first time in church as children. One of my favorite is Standing on the Promises. You remember that song? Standing on the Promises. Unfortunately, many church members are just sitting on the premises. But the songwriter declared, "Standing on the promises, I cannot fall." How has the church of Jesus Christ survived down through the ages? The answer is simple. The promises in God's word are all true and have passed the test of time. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 1 and 20 that all of God's promises are true. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, the Bible says all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. In 2 Peter 1 and 20 and verse 21, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scriptures of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. This book I hold in my hand is God's comprehensive, infallible revelation to man. It could be no more accurate. It could be no more authoritative had God penned it with his own hand. I believe that this doesn't just contain the word of God. I believe that this is the word of God. Amen? All the promises in the book are mine, a songwriter penned. Every chapter, every verse, every line. There are about 6,000 promises in the Bible, and I'm claiming every one of them today. But I want to talk to you about three of those exceeding great and precious promises for the next few minutes. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, "I will build my church." You know, we are not the entire church. How many of you know that? No particular denomination is the entire church. In fact, the church of Jesus Christ is made up of believers all around the world that have been born again. No matter what you call yourself, you can call yourself a Baptist, a Methodist. You can say, I am a Pentecostal. I am Catholic. I am this or I am that. But the truth is, the only way you can get into this church is to be born again by the Spirit of God. And while we're not the entire church, we are part of the church. And you are a part of the church. Would you tell your neighbor, "I am a part of the church of Jesus Christ"? They may not even know who you are today. And Jesus said to 12 disillusioned disciples, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now, Jesus said those words against the backdrop of a place called the gates of hell. And Brother Schmidt was quick to point out to me the last time we were together in the Holy Land, he said, "This is a place for over 1,000 years, every kind of heresy that you can imagine, every kind of false religion had its headquarters here. Everything from human sacrifice to something very similar to the New Age movement. And it was where all of these different religions were showcased and they were put on display. And Jesus chose that particular place to say to his disciples, "You see all this going around on around me here? It's a beehive of activity, but there's coming a day when the only thing that will be left is the church. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Today, thousands and thousands of people will travel to that site to see where Jesus said these words, and there is no trace of any kind of a heathenistic religion. There's nobody offering a child as a human sacrifice. Nobody's talking about the New Age. Nobody's talking about humanism, but everybody's talking about Jesus Christ and what he said on that spot. I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, somehow Jesus managed to place strong emphasis on every word. He said, I will build my church. Why? Because he is the great I am. He said, before Abraham was, I am. He said, I will build my church. And then he gave us a promise. How many of you know that when the Lord himself makes a promise, that settles it, right? Because where the word of a king is, there's power. And he said, I will build my church. Then he said, I will build my church. How does he do that? By saving souls. Do you remember when the Lord saved your soul? If you do, raise your hand and say amen. I don't know where you were. It could have been on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night or a Wednesday night. It could have been while you were driving down the highway and listening to the radio and someone preached the gospel on the radio and you were saved. Maybe you were in your home watching Christian television and somebody preached a message that touched your heart. Maybe it was a friend or a loved one, a mom, dad, somebody told you about Jesus and the time was right. And you said, yes, I want Jesus to come into my heart. What was going on in that moment? The Lord himself was building the church and he made a place for you. And this morning, it doesn't matter if you're 80 or 8. It doesn't matter if you have silver hair or if you are just a little child. If you have been born again, if you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior, there's room for you in this church. Hallelujah. Because Jesus promised to build the church. Peter, who was there, present on that day, who is the very one who said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus declared that it was upon his statement of faith that he would build the church. Later on said that we are living building stones in the house of God. Today, you may have wonderful gifts and talents that God has deposited in your life that you need to use for his glory. But God has placed you in the church to be a blessing. You've been blessed. You've been saved from your sins, but you weren't just blessed to sit on a pew and sit there and sulk and sour. God saved you so that you could serve him. And today there's a work for you to do in the church of Jesus Christ. He said, I will build my church. The church belongs to Jesus Christ. We are the apple of his eye, the salt of the earth, the city set upon a hill, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We're the family of God, and we are the body of Christ. And make no mistake about it, the church of Jesus Christ is on the march, and we are indestructible. We will overcome. Jesus causes us always to triumph over the enemy. And we're more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. He said, I will build my church. We're not a social club. We don't come here and hang out together because we all make the same amount of money, live in the same kind of house, and drive the same kind of car. We don't gravitate toward one another because we're all the same color, or we have the same tradition, or we have the same culture. We are here because we have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, and we've heard the voice of our Master, and we are one in the Spirit of the Lord. We are the church. Somebody say amen. Amen. And he said the combined forces of the seat of the devil's authority would never be able to stop the church short of its divine goals and commission. Somebody say praise the Lord. One of those exceeding great and precious promises is this. Jesus said, I will build my church. If you believe that, shout a big amen, somebody. Amen. Now, here's another one. I'm going to hurry quickly. Number two, here's the second great and exceeding great. I like it when he said exceeding great and precious promise. I will never leave you. Hebrews 15 and 5 is a direct quote from the Lord who said to his followers, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. Can you somebody say praise God? You know, have you ever been through a tough time and you felt like you were alone? I know I have. And God, one particular time I was having a very difficult struggle, and I felt like that even those that I knew really loved me dearly were not with me. And they weren't opposed to me. They weren't against me, but I just felt like I was alone. Anybody ever been there? And you know, I questioned God about that. And it's okay to ask God questions if you're listening for answers. And I said, God, why do I feel alone? Why do I feel like those that I know love me and those who are a part of my family, and yet I feel like I'm out here alone? And the Lord said, well, first of all, you're not alone. I'm with you. I will never leave you and I'll never forsake you. But what you don't understand is that the way is so narrow, there was only room for two of us. Amen. Oh, they wanted to be here. They really did. They wanted to help you, but it was a narrow way. Anybody ever been in a narrow place where you knew it was just you and the Lord? Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. He said, I won't leave you and I won't forsake you. No matter what happens, everybody may leave you, but I won't leave you. One of the names by which God was known to his ancient people in the Old Testament is Jehovah Shammah. Everybody say that. Jehovah Shammah. Say it again. Jehovah Shammah. You know what it means? I'm the Lord God Almighty who chooses to dwell among his people. Do you know what it means in Virginia? The Lord is there. That's right. Amen. Tell somebody, say, the Lord is here. He's with me. Now, I like it because it says the Lord is there. See, when you're in a bad spot, anybody ever have things go wrong when you're trying to do right? You know what I mean? And even in that tough time, the Lord is there. But what about when you're feeling good? No, I shared this and I'm going to share it again. The last Wednesday night or Wednesday after I met with our staff, and I said, give me a full report on what's come in for Guatemala. Because when we go, every time we go, we always, I don't take anything for going. I preached to 15,000 teenagers the last time I was there, and I didn't take one red cent. In fact, I donated $2,500 to help in the expense of that kind of a meeting. We've built playgrounds. I say we, I'm talking about all of us. We've built playgrounds all over that country. In fact, if a family is attracted to one of our churches, most of the time it's because we're the only place for their children to play. Now see, my wife got this revelation, I didn't. She got up one night in the middle of the night and went to the window, and the Lord spoke to her heart and said, what is it you haven't seen in this country? And she said, Lord, I haven't seen a place for children to play. One of the ways that we bonded with Sarah when we adopted her is we went to all these different playgrounds. She loved playgrounds, and guess what? Her little daughter does too. We went yesterday and pushing her on the swing, and she was having a big time. And it's a place for people to bond. The first playground we built on the top of a trash dump. They have a church there, but they've never been able to have a children's program. They actually live in a trash dump, about 10,000 families living on top of a trash dump. You know where they get their building material for their houses? From the trash dump. And they'll put up these little makeshift shacks and live in there. It's the most deplorable living conditions you've ever seen. The first place we went to, we wanted to make sure, number one, they had clean water, so we provide that still. Second thing is that we wanted to go in there and build them a playground. And we did. And you know what happened? The first Sunday that it was open, we dedicated it, they had a children's church, not just a class for children. They had a children's church. I'll tell you an interesting story that happened. And Brother and Sister Goodrich were there on that trip. In fact, we've got pictures in the hallway of upstairs of Brother Goodrich looking at this little boy. And Brother Goodrich speaks Spanish, and the little boy wouldn't respond to him. And he just kind of looked at him. And during that service, they brought this little boy and dumped him in my lap. And the preacher, through the interpreter, says, he can't hear and he doesn't speak. And he's looking at his big brown eyes. And I said, well, in the name of Jesus, start hearing and speaking. And I put my fingers in his ears, touched his lips, gave them back to him. They took him back to children's church and they were given hot dogs to the other little children, and he said, you know what his first words were? I want a hot dog in Spanish. How about that? And he's still talking now, praise God. See, that's what I'm talking about. So we're going over there, we're doing these things, and we're loving on these people and helping these people. And it's all because of what you have done. When we come together as a church and we go do things for people, we're not alone in this work of the Lord to which He has called us, and we're not left powerless. Jesus said, I'll be right there with you. And it doesn't matter if it's on the mission field. It doesn't matter if it's in an outreach that we do here. It doesn't matter if it's in your situation at home where you're struggling with something. It doesn't matter if your finances have hit rock bottom. It doesn't matter if you're facing a difficult transition, something in your life has happened and it's turned everybody upside down and you're thinking, what are we going to do next? Make no mistake about it, the Lord is there. He's there when you're on the mountaintop and He's there when you're in the valley. And on Wednesday, when I prayed and I said, God, I don't know exactly what we're going to do because we got a $4,000 shortfall for Guatemala. And I don't know where I'm going to get the money. I had the most wonderful peace because the Lord moved in right next to me and whispered in my ear and said, don't you worry about it. I got it. I said, okay, I'm not calling anybody. I'm not going to talk to anybody. One couple did send me a text and say, did you get it? I said, no, we're $4,000 short. Well, on Friday, Pastor Eric, our administrator, called me and said, Pastor Sam, I just got a check. And he tried to read the name of the person. I said, I don't know that name. And then I said, is it this name? And I called the name. He said, yeah, I think that's the name on the check. When this guy was a little boy, our ministry touched his entire family. Now he's a grown man and he's a very respected and well-to-do businessman. He said, oh, after I called him, of course, when I got the check, I called him. I said, oh, I want to thank you for what you did. He said, funniest thing, on Wednesday, he said, I had this strong impression from the Lord that I needed to write you a check for $4,000 and I needed to get it to you right away. I said, man, it's right on time, just like God. God is never late. He's always there. Some of you may be about to give up and you think there's no hope in going on because it's not working. Don't give up. The Lord didn't give up on you and He hasn't given up on that situation. He's going to do everything He said He would do because He is there. Hallelujah. Acts 16:16 says, it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which showed us the way of salvation. This did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when the masters saw the hope of their gains was gone, they had Paul and Silas caught, thrust into the inner prison. And at midnight, with their backs beaten and their hands in chains and their feet in stocks, they praised God and prayed, and God turned everything around. Why? Because the Lord is there. He was in that prison cell with them. And so He sent an earthquake and staged a jailbreak at midnight, and they walked out with the keys in one hand and a convert in the other. God is always there. Anybody ever been in a...
This is Pastor Sam, and I'm breaking in right now to have a special prayer with you. Believe God with me as I pray. Heavenly Father, I come to You in the name of Jesus Christ for everyone who's in need today. Save every lost soul, sanctify and fill hungry believers with Your Holy Spirit. Heal the sick and afflicted. Set the captives free. Deliver those, Father, who are bound, oppressed, and tormented by Satan. Give perfect peace to those, O God, who are troubled in their spirit. Give to us that peace that transcends and supersedes human understanding. The peace of God that will keep our heart and mind through Jesus Christ. For it's in His name we pray. Amen. Well, glory to God. I believe God heard my prayer. I really want to hear from you. You know, the Bible says you're an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. So why not share with me today what God's done in your life? You can call me at 804-744-8881. That's 804-744-8881, and tell me about what the Lord has done for you. And when you call that number, I have a special gift for you. I wrote a book called The Beginning of the End. I'm convinced that you and I are living in the last days before the coming of Christ. And I want you to have this book. It's called The Beginning of the End. And all you have to do is call me at 804-744-8881, and I'll rush your copy to you immediately, free and postpaid. Again, the number to call is 804-744-8881. Remember, every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, we have a praise celebration. It's an hour and a half long. During that time, you have anointed praise and worship, powerful singing, dynamic preaching of the Word of God, great fellowship. You'll enjoy it. You'll be blessed. Bring the whole family. The last Sunday in every month, we have an additional service we call our miracle service at 6 o'clock in the chapel. And God is confirming His Word with signs and wonders and miracles. On Wednesday night, you can find us here in our family enrichment night service at 7 p.m. in the main sanctuary. I'll be teaching, but we have Royal Rangers for the boys and missionettes for the girls and a dynamic youth program for teens. And we also have a ministry to college and career age young people. We have our own Hispanic congregation meeting in the chapel. So we have something for every age group and every member of the family on Wednesday night at 8:30, we're walking out the door. So be sure to join us every Wednesday evening. For more information, you can go to our website. That's victorytab.org. And when you get there, you'll find out about our podcast. You'll find out about how we do live stream. You'll find out that every Sunday morning at 11:30, you can watch us over Facebook, at 11 o'clock. And every Wednesday night at 7:30, you can watch us live over Facebook. So all of these things are there for you when you go to our website. That's victorytab.org. So be sure to check it out. Thank you so much for joining me on the program today. Remember, if you'd like my book, The Beginning of the End, you can have it absolutely free if you just simply call me at 804-744-8881. May the Lord bless you. And until we're together again, just like this, around the Word of God, remember, the Bible says that this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith.